Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles here with my co-host.
I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Haston with my great friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, what are we doing today on the show?
Well, I think we're going to light a fire under a lot of people who are called the media or entertainment or social media, you know, just the places of where we are communicators. And I think that there's a move of God happening in that space in such a powerful, powerful time right now. So you and I are going to talk about a real talk, but we also have a guest about that today as well.
We're going to have a guest, Troy Miller, who's going to be amazing on this topic, Sean.
But we're going to be talking about how Christian media has come to age. It really has. We've been the underdogs, and we're becoming the major players in the world right now. If you look at the viewership of The Chosen or House of David or King of Kings, the movie, I mean, these things are like breaking records. And it's wild to see the influence of people like Mike Rowe or Dr. Phil, Bear Grylls, who are using their mainstream platform, but they're actually really talking about their faith so much. And these are mainstream breakthroughs with faith at the core, and it's awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, how awesome was House of David? Obviously, we've been watching The Chosen for a number of seasons, but House of David kind of came out of nowhere for us, and it was, I can't wait for the next season. But if you've been feeling called to act, write, produce, influence, create, this episode's your sign. It's time to step out with boldness and know there's room and a need for your voice in the media space.
Yeah, and Troy Miller is going to help us have that conversation through his interview. He's now become the CEO and president of NRB, which is National Religious Broadcasters. And he's creating a conversation in a space for Christians in that platform all around the world through an event that happens every year, but also they have online media all the time. So it's going to be an awesome conversation. And before we get there, I just want to say that you and I, and we'll talk about this more in the real talk, you and I never thought we would be in the space of media and being, you know, creating conversations like this. And so we are some of the products that God's shifted a lot of people into spaces they'd never thought they'd be in. I know Troy, that's part of his story too, of being the president of NRB. And I'm here for it. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right. I never thought I'd be in this space. And but then my friend Sean said, hey, guess what we're going to do? And I said, we are?
And we're doing it. This is our fifth season. Yes, Bob, you said yes to God and yes to Sean. Yay. Yeah, so. Well, we have a sponsor coming up who's going to tell you about something we have as an offer for you. And that helps to build the show out. So I'm going to encourage you to engage the sponsor, and then we'll be right back for Real Talk. Our sponsor today is Birch Gold, and Birch Gold is going to help you find a little known loophole in the IRS to protect your retirement, your IRA, your 401k with precious metals. And this is an incredible company. They have amazing consumer reviews. You can look them up. They're one of the top, if not the top, in their industry. And they're sponsoring us and giving you a free information guide by going to birchgold.com/Sean Bowles. Bowles is spelled B-O-L-Z. And when you go there, you're going to talk to their experts, whether you get the guide or talk to somebody. They are so informative, and they're going to help you to go on the journey to stabilize your financial future. And we know that gold has been a standard for thousands of years, and it is today still. You don't want to miss out on your opportunity to do something for your financial future and your children's future. Go there today. Well, Bob, for years, we know Christian creatives felt like outsiders when it came to media and entertainment. A lot of the projects that were done, people would just kind of go, sigh, you know, that was terrible. It's all about the end times or something weird. But we're in a moment where this has shifted so dramatically. The proof is everywhere. Massive viewership numbers for The Chosen. House of David was the number one streaming show of all streaming shows for days and days. And then King of Kings, the movie, beat out the Snow White movie in its second week. And King of Kings in its first week. And they had more pre-sales than the Snow White movie by Disney. Mainstream voices, like I've mentioned earlier, like Mike Rowe or Bear Grylls or Dr. Phil or different ones, are living out their faith very publicly. And we're watching even like actors like Ellen Richter from the show Reacher, or Richland from the show Reacher. Others are just boldly living out. Like, he has a social media kind of preaching YouTube channel. And he's one of the top actors on Amazon Prime. So we're watching this incredible thing emerge that's so profound. And it's really, it's time.
It is time. It's true. Christians are no longer on the sidelines in this space. You know, you talk about Alan Ritson and Reacher. I've read a lot about him. His faith is strong, and he's doing a part that there's a lot of blood and a lot of things that I think people are pushing back at, but he's standing for his faith, saying like, I'm a believer in this space, and I'm playing a part. This isn't who I am. So it's been amazing to see him, and he's such a big man anyway, when he stands up and pushes back to some of the critics. I just think it's great. I think we're seeing the beginning of a media reformation where storytelling values and influence are intersecting in powerful ways for morals and ethics and character. I mean, how many times do you go on a streaming service and say, oh, this show looks great, and then you watch it and you can't watch it because of the amount of foul language or sex or whatever it is. We need to have things streaming that we can actually watch. It's been
amazing. You look at like even some of the popular comedians like Nate Bargatze or John Crist or different people who are Christians and are using clean humor. And one of the major comedians, I won't say his name just because he cussed a lot, when he said, he goes, you know, most comedians like me, we go to the lowlands of comedy, of sex and race and everything else, and that's how where we live. But it takes a lot of sophistication to be able to make people laugh when you're not using all the normal tools, right? You know, and I think that that's true, that there's something special about Angela Johnson and Nate Bargatze in comedy, or there's something special about so many of the news commentators who are Christians who probably helped Trump win because they were standing for, you know, America's morality. And so you have Charlie Kirk, or you have, you know, Eric Metaxas, or you have so many different people out there who were just key voices, even some of the guys with Daily Wire who made a difference. And it made a difference to where politics changed because they stood in their faith and they stood in their morality. And that's huge. Like, that's never happened before on this level.
Well, there's research. You want to talk about the Barna research? You want me to? Yeah.
No, I'll talk about it. So, you know, this is kind of my why now is the time to step into media to try and convince our audience. I hope you guys know it really is time. And the good thing is that some of you are stepping in just by starting a podcast or using your social media channel in a real way or writing a book or these kinds of things. They're all important. Communications, this is the time to communicate. And this is a time when you don't need millions of dollars behind you to have a great reach. And I have a friend who started a podcast and he only has 200 people listening each time he releases a podcast. And he goes, you know, I was kind of discouraged because I only have 200 people and I've only been going for like after 8 podcasts. And I said, can you imagine having 200 people in your living room, how you would feel?
Right.
Like that's a huge amount of people who are listening to you. And I know we don't do it for the amount or the impact, you know, in the visible sense, but we do have to measure metrics. And that's normal. But the media research from Barna research, it shows that 60% of Gen Z consume faith-based content weekly. So the younger generation, and they're looking for authenticity and they're looking for quality. Now, this also comes in the heels of the CW played the last season of The Chosen, and it did better, Bob, than their original program shows. So it actually was their highest viewed show. That's the youth Gen Z channel. It was better than their highest viewed shows that were original content from them. And that told them something, and they're trying to figure that out right now. Streaming platforms are actively seeking out redemptive content due to proven audience demand. And the success of The Chosen itself, over 600 million views, shows the quality plus spiritual truth equaled undeniable cultural impact. So we're just watching something that we've never seen before.
It's amazing. I think of the scripture in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world, a town on a hill can't be hidden. And you think about media as a town on the hill, right? Everyone's consuming media. And so we're called to shine. And I think that's what's happening now. And it's interesting to watch and to be so excited for content that you can watch with your wife or your family or your children.
Well, and you and I are both products of what God's doing in this new move of God, because we're doing this kind of show. This is our fifth season. I've been doing other content. I think of my Sean Bull show. I just did an episode all about people who are mainstream influencers or celebrities who are sharing their personal private Instagrams or social media, like Alan Ritson, to be able to preach and to be able to really share and deepen people's faith around them. And so I think, like, you know, I would have never been doing that because I was so locked into preaching at Bible schools and churches, right, and conferences.
Right.
But God pulled me out in 2020. I mean, radically was like, leave that behind completely. And it was a huge sacrifice. But I was like, I'm following you, God. And you followed with me, which is good for our show. And then Lauren, I think of your wife, Lauren, who was doing all kinds of other things. And God really hijacked her and was like, it's time to build the studio and produce content. And she's just now, as we're making the show, finishing the production studio, which is like you called it Narnia. It's so, she's so whimsical in her creativity that I can't wait to see what comes out of her.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So I think, you know, if you feel called to create, to write, to film, to speak, to design, to produce, don't let the fact that you've never done it stop you.
Yeah.
God's raising up a generation of voices for this moment. I know, like, I'm in business and all through the years, as we reached up to bigger things, it was really scary. But God was with us. And I think God's with us in this moment on this creativity side in the media.
Yeah. And this is the first time in any generation that media is the front line of influence, you know, especially for Christians even. But I read this NPR report years ago. Justin Bieber put out one statement about pro-life. He was just being a pro-life, and it was really heartfelt. And NPR put out kind of a statistic survey where they saw that 50% of his audience changed their mind that they surveyed about abortion because of his statement.
Wow.
And a pastor would not have gotten that same level of shifting of cultures or mindsets in that kind of post. And so God's using people in media, God's using people who have influence, God's using people who have celebrity, mm-hmm. God's using projects of influence. And it's time for you not to hide. It's time to build and create and release and shine. And if you're not called to do it, support the people who are, like, really as missionaries, just like we as the church have gotten behind missionaries for generations to say, go in that mission field. I've been with executives at Disney, at CBS, at ABC, at all the different major studios. I've been with Google, with Apple, doing their faith-based groups. And there's people there that need your prayers and need you to believe with them that God's doing something really profound, even in the midst of a really worldly world, you know.
That's pretty cool, Sean. You've been with all those people, with those big companies, and now we're going to interview Troy Miller, who's the president and CEO of NRB. So tell us about him.
Well, I love Troy. I mean, I'm just getting to know him, but Troy is the president and CEO, like I said, of NRB and our NRB TV. With more than 30 years of business and media and ministry leadership, Troy has been a key voice in shaping Christian media landscape. And under his leadership, NRB has grown to strength to reach and become a global hub for Christian media professionals to gather, innovate, and impact culture. He's a U.S. Navy veteran. Thank you for your service, Troy, mm-hmm. and a former executive of Gateway Inc. and has helped lead major ministries like Dr. James Kennedy Ministries. His passion is helping faith-based media not just survive, but to thrive and excel. And this is the best time to do it. We need people like Troy in it. So I can't wait to talk to Troy, because he's not just going to tell us the highlight journey of success. He actually is going to share with us where he came out of the life of poverty. It's pretty incredible.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos, and this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry, but we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Troy Miller. Troy, we're so happy to have you.
Oh, great to be with you guys.
Troy, it was really interesting because the last time I went to NRB was probably the first year that you were president of it. And it felt like the first time that a full representation of kind of the entertainment media was together. I think it was in Orlando, I believe. And it was the first time that it felt like I felt my tribe there. A few of the other times I've been, it felt like a lot of radio or a lot of international or whatever else. But the last couple of times now, I mean, so many of my friends are saying, I had the most divine synergy I've ever had in any event because I went to this event. And so you're doing something that's really profound, and I'm so glad you're doing it. But you weren't always the president of NRB. And as a matter of fact, you came out of quite a life. Tell us kind of your founding story, just because it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Nebraska, so I'm kind of a Midwest farm kid. My childhood wasn't the greatest. I grew up a product of adultery. Wow. My mom was married to someone else when, her and my dad fooled around. And then for about, really till the third grade, my last name was the same as my older sister. So Jensen, I thought I was somebody else. In the third grade, I found out I wasn't. And and so, you know, it's just, and we grew up very poor, welfare, food stamps. I laugh about it a little bit because, some of the embarrassing things when you grow up on welfare, you're one of the kids, your lunch card's orange, you know, and everybody else's is yellow. And so you stand out and all that stuff. So, yeah, the childhood wasn't the best, but look, God is always there. And I think my story's pretty much about he's always there.
Mm. Wow. Well, so from those beginnings, tell us, you know, after high school, what did you decide to do?
Yeah, so you know, growing up in that environment, actually, my sister used to sign all my report cards, so I didn't have a whole lot of focus on education. Although I still did well in high school, so I decided to go to the Navy. I had an uncle who was in the Navy. It was really impressive. It was from about ninth grade on. That was just I was locked into that decision and joined up and went to Navy. I said that's where I'm going to learn. And I served 5 years active duty, 1 year inactive, and I can't say enough about my Navy service. It was one of the best times in my life. Plus, it's when I got saved because I had a grandmother who was deep into Christian television, and she sent me every book she could get, and she sent me Dr. Kennedy's Why I Believe book, Why I'm Out in the Persian Gulf, and I devoured it along with a Bible she sent me. I read my Bible so many times, guys, it came out of the spine. I still have it in a book, and I took all the books and kind of paper clipped them together and that. So grandma's out there, if you've got captive grandkids, take advantage of it.
Oh, that's right. You know, you can get that rebound. I think it'd be a really fun thing just for your children and their children. But tell us kind of, okay, so you go from, you get saved in the Navy. How did you know that you wanted to do, and maybe you didn't, to get into Christian media and to get, I mean, now you're the leader of the NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasters. How did you know that was the thing?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't know that at all. That was not my path. My grandfather was super influential in my life. He was a part-time farmer. He was a policeman, volunteer fireman. I was committed to following in his footsteps. So my last year in the Navy, I took a leave, went home to Nebraska to take the state highway patrolman's test. So I get in there, I sit down, I'm all prepared. I'm a Navy guy. I was a gunner's mate. I know all this stuff. I was in the part of the military police, and I'm on my path. And this big highway patrolman guy walks over and asks me, how long have you worn glasses? And I said, well, since the ninth grade. He goes, what's your vision? I don't know. It was like 21 something. He goes, come with me. He walks out in the hallway. He goes, your vision has to be at a minimum 20-30 without your glasses. That's a requirement to be a police officer in Nebraska. And so here it was, my whole career that I had planned out in front of me and just taken away, gone. That was the first time, you know, disappointed. I was so set on that. And I had about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive back to my in-laws' house. And I'll just tell you the truth. I just bawled the whole way. I thought I was in, and I was really lost at that point. Had no clue what I was going to do. Thought it maybe I'd go back and re-enlist. And it was just a real dark time for me.
And in these dark times, in these valleys of the shadow of death is where God meets us. And in that place, how did he begin to rebuild you?
So my wife and I started to pray about it and pray about reenlisting, and that just didn't seem to be the right path for us in that. So we just decided we were going to go back to Nebraska and kind of just a little bit play it by ear. My dad was big into construction, so he actually got me a job in construction, sort of a temporary job. And then my uncle, this job opened up for this computer company called Gateway. At the time, there were only 30 people there. And I thought, hey, this is what I do. I work on electronics. I've worked on computers. This is what I do. It's right up my alley. So I took a $5 an hour job. Wow. To go work on computers, thinking I'd eventually get involved somewhere in the defense industry, maybe back. But God opened that door for, like you said, for a reason. And the one thing that really helped us is like you said, is to pray about it and really think where's God leading you? Because sometimes it's not, I'm going to tell you, my story is a story that the path every time I thought I was on a path, I thought I had planned out all my footsteps. God had something else in mind and really changed that. And Gateway became very pivotal for me. It was also the same time I got really involved in the church as a Christian, became an elder in my church, really, really involved, and just wanted to be a pastor. That's really what I wanted to be back while I was doing all this work at Gateway.
Man, I can just imagine how other people listen to this and go, man, I'm not on a direct path either. I know I'm following God, but I always think we are not self-made men and women. We're like looking for a God result in our life. So our process, everything we're doing is totally different. We're just obeying God and kind of walking it out in faith. Talk about what were some of the next steps in this journey?
Yeah. And that's so true, because even in that, Gateway was this super fast growing company, grew to a $9 billion company in 11 years, and just this phenomenal growth, and God opened up a number of opportunities. We lived in Ireland. I traveled all across Asia, around the world, but a lot of disappointments there too. I thought this was now my new path. This was going to be, business was going to be where I was going to be at. And this is what the future God had for me. But even in that, God sort of threw some wrenches in the way. There were several promotions I thought I was a shoe-in for, and then didn't get them. And that really helped to shape how I looked at, just started to look at life itself. How do you look at life? And you really kind of have to step back and trust God. But the next step was leaving Gateway. This opportunity came up to work for D. James Kennedy down in Florida. And by the way, it was his book my grandmother sent me when I was in the Persian Gulf, I Believe. And then all of a sudden, there's this opportunity to go down there and work for this ministry. And that was my introduction into nonprofits, Christian broadcasting, Christian communication, Christian ministry. And that was after 11 years of disappointment of thinking, there's just no way God's going to use my skills to do anything for the kingdom.
Wow. Well, it's so interesting. What would you consider are your skills, your wheelhouse? And, I know from your bio that when you took over NRB, there was it was having some financial issues that under your leadership has changed.
Yeah. So like I said, the Navy trained me on, electronics, computers. So I was really a tech, I was really into that world. I learned how to program, do all that kind of stuff. I ran global IT for Gateway. But during this, I didn't know, here I was in this company that was growing almost 300, 400% a year. And so that fast kind of growing pace, in that you wear a number of hats. So I learned, manufacturing, operational skills, learned a lot of accounting skills, went back to school and took a lot of accounting. And that's kind of became my forte, finance and those sort of things. And, those were the kind of the areas. And then a lot of organizational management. Both you learn that in the military, and then you learn that in this fast growing environment. But you don't think of those skills as the kind of skills that God's going to use for ministry. Wow. You think of theological depth and Bible study and biblical languages and pastoral care and those kinds of things. But yet both at D. James Kennedy, when I got in there, they were kind of a bit of a financial, wreck, because they had all those biblical skills, but they didn't have anybody that had those business skills. So we really helped trim and sharpen that organization. We trimmed that first year almost $1.5 million in cost out of that organization that was just, waste. Not out of anybody's, purpose, just stuff people didn't understand. And as you said, here 20 years after I left Gateway, God would use me to help save an organization that had been around at the time about 75 years or so. Wow. That needed those exact skills. And that's incredible, people, because when you get disappointed that you look at your life or where you're at and think, there's just no way God's going to use me. I'm not on a path. My business isn't flourishing or whatever. We have no idea what he's training for us today he has for us to apply in the future.
I know Sean has a question, but the comment you made that it took 20 years is the process that we enter in with the Lord, that somehow we just don't know what he's doing and we have to trust him and lean not into our own understanding. And I just love that you said that. So sorry, Sean, I know you have a question.
No, I'm so glad I like this. I mean, I think that, Troy, it's just so awesome to talk to you, because I feel like you got a pulse for your own process. And so many people don't think about the fact that if you had taken that, or if you had gotten those promotions, then you might've been so locked in because the success of that. Even sometimes God protects us from the success, because then we don't say yes to other opportunities. They're good, but they don't feel as good as they would feel, if you don't have that promotion. And I think that's happened, I'm sure, to almost everybody who's listening at some point, where it's like you didn't get something you thought you would want, and it was because God was protecting you from even a wrong success or just a good, so you can get into the best. Talk about that. So you transitioned from that organization, and you end up transitioning to NRB. And again, NRB has gone through many phases, many iterations, and it's in a new one, which has been, my estimation is that it has the pulse of what's happening as Christian media and entertainment has come of age. It needed a place to gather, and you guys are providing the best place for that to gather and for that networking to happen and for those collaborations to even meet. And I think it's very unique. I mean, I've been to some of the other conventions and things, and I don't know if I'd go back, but NRB is something that's very unique. It offers an environment that it's not the wannabes and the has-been. It's like people who are on the forefront of what's going on. But I'm sure that wasn't easy, especially right when you inherited it with some of the financial struggles. So talk about just coming into this organization, What did you have vision for, and what's been happening?
Yeah, that's so true. Actually, when they asked me to come over to the organization, and after I sort of got under into the books and started looking at things, I thought, well, I guess I'm the guy that they're going to bring in to wind it down, because it was in terrible, terrible shape. I mean, they were completely insolvent, didn't know where they were going to pay the next couple of salary cycles, payroll cycles and stuff, owed money for the 2018 conference. And then this is where God kind of kicks those skills in from 20 years ago, and got the pencil out and started sharpening and move things, reread contracts, do all that stuff that you needed to do. None of it was really super sort of sophisticated, but it was, stuff that God had really honed my skills in on. It was something that we could get through and get through it really fast. And then by God's grace, we turned we got the organization. I used to tell people, I came in and it was like being the guy there when the thing came in off the ambulance, they're like, hey doc, it's got a pulse, but I'm not sure. But we got it
clear.
We got it out of the ER into the, critical care. And then finally, really in 2022, that Orlando conference, it was when I kind of said we turned the corner and kind of discharged the patient. And now we could start focusing in on NRB. And I grew up Catholic. I got saved in an Assembly of God church. My wife was Lutheran. We did that for a while. I was an elder there. I did Berean in the AG church. And then I went to work for the leading Presbyterian Reformed theologian in the country, and got to audit classes in a seminary there. And now I'm a Southern Baptist. And the reason I say all of that is because God was training me for this organization that has a big umbrella. Yeah. And it is, we're not a denomination. We're not a certain kind of, you know, path of theological, you know, we have our core that we have to be, but that really helped me relate to everybody within the NRB sphere and look at all the different things that God pulls together to make his plan, his gospel move forward. And that's one thing that's really been on my heart, starting with, you know, getting out of that triage time, is all about the gospel moving forward in all the different ways that God's doing it. Like Paul told us in, you know, 1 Corinthians, when he talks about, you know, the body and we can't see the foot can't reject the hand and the hand can't reject. And so that's really the core of what we're trying to do at NRB. In today, communications is the center of the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so to those who don't know what NRB is, talk to us about the mission as we wind down our time together.
Yeah, real quick, three things. NRB was started in 1944 to advocate and fight for Christians to be in the public space. In that time, it was radio. Today, of course, it's radio, it's television, it's all things digital, it's print, you name it, it's publishing. And it's even on social media. You know, there was a lot of weaponization recently against Christians just in their own personal social media. And then this sort of second pillar that we have is excellence in what you do. So we try to help every communication ministry, no matter what the medium is, to do it with excellence and to the glory of God. And the last sort of pillar for us is what I call the megaphone. And we use this big media platform to be the megaphone of these very key, critical, you know, freedom of speech issues, freedom of religion issues, our support for a number of different things, pro-life, pro-family, and those. And that's what NRB is all about in the public sector today.
I think it's so cool. I think one of the coolest things, Bob, when you go, and for everyone who's listening, it's you're seeing people like, you know, people maybe who are social media influencers or people who are like Eric Metaxas or who have shows and they're interviewing people like Lance Wall, different people interview people live from the floor for a couple of days. Some of them will go live for the whole time. And then there's training sessions on like how to use your social media or how to like advance an AI or how to whatever. So there's training. And then there's a lot of film releases that they'll do film screenings or TV show screenings for different like Angel Studios or for, and I'm sure the Orwin brothers will be doing some stuff next year. Like they did their release of a House of David. They did a pre-screening before it came out. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that happens. It's kind of this event where it's multifaceted. And I really enjoyed, like I said, being there. Like I felt like I lived in the conference world. That was the church Christian centric conference world. And I'm more of a media person. So when I went there the first time, I was like, here they all are here. I found them. Like, where were you guys? You know? So it felt really incredible to find everybody and just see you guys, you gather them That's together. Awesome. And so I think that for me, I'm just so love what you're doing. And I'm so love that you came and turned the ship, and you're a Navy man. So that makes sense. But you turn the ship, you righted the ship, and I feel like it's shows. I mean, it really shows the benefit of just your leadership over it. And I know it takes a team. I know there's a lot of people behind it. But we just so appreciate hearing your story coming from the background you came from, and God can use you, so he can use us.
Yeah, I am a testimony that if God can use a uneducated Nebraska farm kid that grew up in a terrible broken home and didn't have a heart for, I did Christian ministry and that was not my path. But look, God takes, like you said, he takes the good and the disappointments of the bad in our life, and he's shaping us. I'm just a firm believer. He is shaping us for what he has planned in the future. His hand is so all over our lives. We just don't often see it until we look in the rearview mirror.
Well, you heard it here, and I want to encourage you guys, if you're in the media spaces in Christianity, come to the next NRB. It's going to be in Nashville next February. Is it the 17th, 18th? 19th, is that
17th the date? Through the 20th, 17th through the 20th, Nashville at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel.
Oh, it's a beautiful hotel out there too. So it's going to be awesome. So thanks so much for being with us, Troy. We so enjoyed our time with you.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys are great. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com, and even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.